There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hour number two, glad to have you here on this Thursday. And also, thank you to our special guest, David Preston, in studio. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
It's still going pretty good. And I'm pretty excited because we have Brad on, who is a 737 pilot. And this is the first person I've heard that I can talk with that actually flies these jets. And a couple things, Brad. If people didn't catch it last hour, you laid out the point about that you can overtake the yoke on the 737 MAX, right?
Yes. It also has a manual trim wheel that you can reach down there and just grab it with your hand and stop it. Right below the trim wheel is two switches that you turn them off, and then you manually trim the airplane and go about your business.
So you're flying, you said just last week you were flying one of these jets.
Yes, sir.
And you'll get back in one without worry.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. There's a small problem with the software. Apparently, from what I'm told, there's a small problem. The original one, like the Lion Air crash, they said it was a problem with the AOA indicator. Now, that is the angle of attack indicator. It gives you how steep of a climb you're in. Layman's terms.
For us to picture a regular folks non-pilot, it's where the nose of the aircraft is, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Brad, I have a couple of questions here. First of all, a friend of mine from Canada that works on the maintenance side of the industry, he asked me, what's the difference in time for the courses between the MAX and the NG?
The difference in time for training?
Yeah, for training.
It's a common, what they call a common type. Any 737 is a type rating. So there's... some reading that you do, some videos you watch, and it's just what they call differences. The airplane is so similar that you can get out of one and get into the other and fly.
Okay.
It's the same with a Boeing 757 and a 767. It's a common type. You get out of one and get into the other. The systems are all the same. The overhead panels, the center console, everything's the same. The real differences with the MAX is the flight instruments are a little bit different. And it has what they call the spoilers on the wings. They're fly-by-wire, so there's no direct input from the flight controls to them spoilers, which is just the coming thing is fly-by-wire.
And was there any truth to those reports in the media after the Lion Air crash that Boeing, after that crash happened, Boeing sent out a bulletin or instructions on how to deal and work with this MCAS system?
That's absolutely correct. They, from what I understand, that Boeing didn't really explain the system too well when they released the airplane, and then that was some of the extra training that we've got since the Lion Air crash, how to deal with it if you have that problem.
Okay, so that gives us a better understanding.
I wonder about this. So folks that'll be, there's going to be people that, number one, airlines that won't fly passengers right now. Does this affect the other side for 737s where, I mean, I guess they're all grounded? I mean, are all 737s MAXs grounded?
No. Just the MAX. 737 MAX.
They're grounded. I mean, are they being flown in anything other than commercial passenger travel? Are they used for freight? Or
No, it's I'm sure that there's no freighters in the MAX.
There we go. So this is a great thing to hear from a person, a pilot that flies and has just recently flown 737 MAX. You would get back in one today.
Stand by just a second.
All right.
I've flown in a MAX. I flew a Southwest one.
Yeah, but riding and doing what Brad does are very...
They're nice planes. They're nice planes. I'm not trying to talk bad about the MAX, but...
It's a fantastic airplane. I tell you, the pilots love it. It's a great airplane. It flies very well. There was, like I said, if the I know with the Lion Air crash, I feel bad about it. It was a horrible accident, but the pilots did let the airplane fly them into the ground. They should. That's as simple and unpolitically correct as you can say it.
We're about truth here. Yeah, don't worry about that. I'm worried about truth.
Well, that's what happened. They let it fly them into the ground, and that's just poor piloting.
What a great insight. And Brad, thanks for holding on with us. Thanks for talking with us. And please, next time we're talking about this, call back in or call back in any time.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. And, Sean, I've always said you're the hardest working man in radio business.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I agree.
Coming from a pilot, guys, that... kept my mom in the air for all those years. My mom was 33 decades in the airline business, and dad built aircraft engines. So, yeah, I come from one of those families that looked at it. And much respect for commercial pilots and the time it takes to get even to walk in the door at one of these airlines, and you know the hours that you got to have to be able to do it, and the things you have to have seen.
There's a reason why they make a six-figure income.
Yeah, there is. They're very much so. Very, very much so. All right. 112 FM Talk 106.5 guest in studio, David Preston. If you didn't catch it last hour, David made a very big donation to our Families of the Fallen Float Project and helped stock that float full of throws, that float that led the floral parade on the Saturday before Mardi Gras, which, by the way, if you have some pictures or video from that, have that float. David would like to see that because he didn't get to make the parade, so he wants to see his throws going out, and I think it's worth doing. If Steve over at Mobile Mask, if you can send us a video, that would be great as well. All right, let's run through some text here before we head to the news break, and then we're going to grab calls. Text line, let's go here, and a couple of these about aircraft, but a lot of these about the bump stocks. Let's go to Ben says, leave it to Connecticut with come up with some BS like this.
Well, Connecticut wasn't the first to do this. I mean, like I told you before we got on the air, they're just following the lead of the tobacco lawsuit back in the 90s.
Yeah, but we could go. We'll read through these texts, and then if we want to, put on the gloves, I'll tell you how this is different than the tobacco industry in one round.
Okay,
I'll do that. This next text says, "I am a Trump endorser, and I do not agree with the bump stock ban. I do not, nor did I ever want to own a bump stock." See, this is the kind of texter I like. This person. This is what I'm talking about, because people say, "I don't have one. I don't care." Quit with that attitude, y'all. He said, "I'm a Trump endorser, and I do not agree with the bump stock ban. I do not, nor did I ever want to own a bump stock because it's a gadget. But I can still disagree with him on this issue and still support the president on the other 99 issues we agree on." See, that is, I call that an open-eyed view of the world. Good for you. Unnamed texter. Jeffrey says, totally agree with you that President Trump is wrong on the bump stock ban. Don't understand how they can even suggest Remington could be liable in the other case. I'm with you there. Travis, good. Travis says, I'm thinking please drink responsibly is just as powerful as please secure your weapons in a responsible manner. Dan says, because he had said... earlier, he said, "Second Amendment is for the protection from this type of government action. It has nothing to do with hunting, right? If we as private citizens want to go and purchase a fully automatic M60 machine gun, we should be allowed to do so. Period." I don't know, Dan. My idealism has been winnowed away over the decades, and there's a little bit of pragmatism in my Second Amendment. I know, and I know that sounds horrible, but. Just trying to be honest about who I am. He said, sure, maybe there should be some licenses and permits and psych checks required, but the citizens must be allowed access to arms that will protect them from the state. All right. Did somebody ask about belt loops? Yes, we won't get into belt loops on the air. Some other people saying, hey, special licenses, maybe like silencers, or those are tax stamps you can get for short-barreled rifles or running a suppressor. Maybe that's where they go. But right now it's a ban, and if you own one by the end of next week, you're committing a felony.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 120, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. By the way, program and note here coming up at 2, not Paul Feinbaum, but we're going straight to Auburn Hoops as the SEC tournament is going on. So for a couple hours, we'll be with Auburn Hoops, then back to the Feinbaum show this afternoon. Segment of the show brought to you by our friends at Harry's. Been shaving with Harry's for years and years now, and I love the shave with Harry's. And David's in studio. David, a listener of FM Talk 106.5, and also somebody shaves with Harry's.
For years.
Yeah, there we go. There's the mic.
Yeah, for years, ever since I heard about them advertising on FM Talk 106.5.
And you say you dig it because you can almost like skip a day. The shave is...
Yeah, even if I go 3 or 4 days without shaving, I can shave and only have to go through once instead of having to go 2 or 3 times like I would with a disposable razor.
See, like I've been telling y'all, they're great blades. And then that's the keystone to the whole thing. And then on top of that, you get those blades showing up at your house so you don't have to remember to get them. And yeah, you're paying half what you would at the grocery store or pharmacy. Hey, join the 10 million of us like David that are shaving with Harry's and get their special deal right now. 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping when you go to harrys.com and use my code MOBILE. Limited time offer. Harry's has a special offer for y'all. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's. And that means we can't get that. But people that are not already customers, new customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3. Free shipping when you use your code MOBILE at harrys.com. So go to harrys.com today, use code MOBILE, and check out to claim your offer and let them know that David and I both sent you and help support Midday Mobile.
And a experienced user tip, order extra shaving gel because you will run out of the shaving gel before you run out of the razors.
See, and you're getting pro tips on this. This is good. All right, I'm going to go to phones in just a second. I do want to read through because I missed one of the texts earlier, and I had like a Homer Simpson "Doh!" moment as soon as we went to the news break. And that was the one of the texts about the bump stocks that asked about what you would be paid when you turned in your bump stock. That is zero. No money. So if you know, right now you have like a week left here to turn in your bump stocks before you're committing a felony by owning the bump stock that you bought legally. If you didn't know that, that's going to be the deal. So let's say, and I have a feeling, well, actually, there's already been lawsuits filed, that this is challenged and overturned. Some portion of it or the whole ban is overturned. What do we do now for people that have turned? And once again, before I get myself in any kind of trouble, well, I'm always in trouble. But I would have to, I think it is a fair question for me to ask. If somebody turns in their bump stock, and it's a piece of polycarbonate, y'all, the bump stock in itself doesn't shoot anything, doesn't do anything. Like I said, it could hurt you if somebody whacked you over the head with it. But it's a piece of polycarbonate that goes on. It's an accessory that lets a semi-automatic rifle fire faster than you could normally do it with your finger because it uses the recoiling action from the rifle to push the trigger back into your finger and fire it again. Okay, nothing changes with the mechanism. It is not fully automatic. The rifle does not change. But if you turn that in and it's destroyed or whatever, or you destroy it yourself, so you're not in possession of this now illegal item, and there's some way to, this is overturned in court, and then that, you know, they rescind the whole order or they go back to some partial. How are people going to be compensated? This is the thing about having a law that's retroactive. I don't know how you...
Exactly. I mean, and I can't imagine that with one of these lawsuits that a judge isn't going to issue a temporary restraining order.
We got a week left, 10 days.
Yeah, but I can't imagine that they're going to go much longer without issuing a temporary restraining order for the part that says if you don't turn it in, you're a criminal. Because I strongly suspect that once that makes it through the federal court system, that part at least will be struck down.
All right. This text here, and that would. you know, get to the phones. But this text, this is interesting. Dan says it's a long one. That's fine, Dan. He said, this is the sort of thing that maybe not vote for Trump. He's done a lot of great stuff, but he's basically Teddy Roosevelt. He will only act on things that he cares about. He doesn't really have a particular ideology. He's a true populist. Dan, where have you been my whole life? He said, like just going down to the range for spits and gigs, I appreciate that, doesn't justify as keeping it legal if there's a risk of mass shootings and such. So let me get off my soapbox. All right. And by the way, Bo on the text line disagrees with you. He said the blades go before the shave gel for him. So order more of both.
Exactly.
Over at Harrys.com.
You can't go wrong.
All right. Go to the phones, and Will is in Mobile up next. Hey, Will.
Hey, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Hey, thanks for all y'all do.
Well, thanks.
I just want to kind of, I don't know if this has been brought up much, but I thank our friends at Lanyap for doing a story on it. I have a thermite violence, Terminex, and their prices have gone up 300% and 400%.
Big time.
Like $264 now. They want me to pay $999.
Mm-hmm. And you're getting off easy. I've heard people that are $1,300, $1,400 for their bond renewal.
Right. And I just wanted to let people know about that because that's ridiculous. I called them, and they said, well, that's what I have to pay now because of the extra activity of the Formosa.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had termite damage on my house, and I've had this bond for 25 years with them. And apparently, they had not treated or whatever. They fixed it, and then I paid extra to have the Formosa treatment done, and now they want me to pay more to have it redone.
Well, you know, okay, so, I mean, there's a couple ways to look at this, and this is, we've had a little bit of discussion on the air about this and a lot off the discussion. My wife and I, our home, we're not with Terminex, we're with another company, but we've gone through a couple rounds of this, dealing with these termite issues, and one way we can look at it, let me play devil's advocate for a second and say they're raising the rates because of the risk. You know, the actuarial table tells them that they have to raise the rate to be able to stay in business. Like we saw after Hurricane Katrina, right? Rising rates on waterfront properties and flooding places, that their exposure and risk has risen. So therefore, their rates have to rise to be able to make the business function. At the same time, you know, you wonder if this is going to be a complete undoing, if they're going to shed so many people that it's going to screw up their numbers as well, where if they just turned up the heat slowly, and I'm not trying to give them ideas, but if they wouldn't have made such big jumps at first, they could have turned the heat up slowly and raised a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and probably gotten to the same number eventually without running everybody off. I don't know. I mean, obviously, they probably run the numbers, and they want you gone. I mean, that's what it seems like to me. They want you gone. They want you not to be a customer.
Right. That's ridiculous, but...
No, I agree it is. I'm on your side. I'm just trying to look at it from why they would be motivated to do this.
Well, my question is, if they they put out a treatment, they shouldn't worry about the Formosa or the termites. Is that correct?
Well, we would think Formosan termites, you know, the big difference with them is, number one, they don't have to go to water every day. I hate that I had to learn all this stuff. They don't have to go to water every day, and they can come up through the ground and then gain purchase in the wood and go in. But yeah, you know, well, I'm with you that it's, you know, it's not like it was last year that Formosan termites arrived in our area.
Right.
Although Mobile, I will say, looking at some of the stats, Mobile has, per capita, I think, one of the highest infestations of Formosan termites of any, you know, scoreable metro in the country. So I don't know what happens here. I don't know if we end up, everybody just says to heck with them and other companies pop up, or people just bite the bullet and pay that kind of money.
Terminex, actually. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's like going to the doctor and getting a vaccine shot. You know, it's supposed to keep you from getting whatever you get the vaccine shot for. And they treat your property, your house, or against termites, so why should they have to worry about it? If they're doing
good point. If they think they're doing a treatment that is going to work, why would they worry about it?
Right.
There must be built in some fail rate, right? I mean, there has to be, you know, there's some rate that even if they treat it, but I know there's questions about how they did treatment. They moved to different systems, and I don't want to get in all the brand names, but they had this system and that system and then switched back to some other system. So it seems to me if they did that, they had some question about what they were doing.
Apparently.
Well, you believe me, you have a lot of company. We could fill up the Civic Center well with folks that have, you know, I mean, my parents got the same thing. They got the big bump from Terminix as well, and they were asking the same questions, and I think there's probably, you know, tens of thousands of more people here along the Gulf Coast. As more information comes out on that, we will talk about it going forward. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you for everything y'all do.
Hey, thanks. Well, I appreciate you listening. That is, that's an issue that it's, is there a termite bomb coming in our area? This is not anything brand new. Been talking about this for some years. Like I said, personally been on the front lines of this to some degree. And you got to ask the question, well, you know, do they, what is the business model here for Terminix? And I don't have the inside books to know, but are they trying to run everybody off except for the sure things or the people that pay the exorbitant money, and that makes the actuarial table work? Is that the plan?
I have no clue. I mean, Terminix sent a door-to-door salesman by my house about a month ago. And
well, that person should get danger pay.
Well, no. They wanted to treat my home for spiders and stuff. I told them I don't have spiders, but I do. But I also told them even if I did, I wouldn't be going with Terminix because of the shenanigans they're pulling with the termite bonds. I was like, and I have a question for you, Son. You said you have a different company for your termite bond.
Yes.
What are their rates compared to the new rates that people are saying?
Well, what's the last rate I paid? Because I don't know going forward, but the last rate, $250.
So, I mean, if your company raises your rates just a little bit, you're better off going with a different company.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. At the same time, when will those companies want to shed? You know, when do they have to lay off the action coming from the other way? We'll talk about that when we get back. And go to the news right now. Dr. Bill's forecast coming up.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile. Special guest in the studio, David Preston, hanging out with us. What do you think, an hour and a half into it?
I'm having fun.
You having fun? It's a good thing to do. All right. Let's see, this text here. I want to get your reaction to this. Number one, I do want to get the I-85 story that I tweeted out a little bit ago on over at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter. A story from Sean Ross over at Yellowhammer said, when President Donald Trump was traveling northbound on I-85 Friday en route to visit victims of the recent East Alabama tornadoes, his motorcycle barely escaped what would have been a high-speed head-on collision.
Wow.
The President of the United States could have been in a high-speed head-on collision. Says a video of an out-of-control vehicle veering off of I-85 South and slamming into the cable guardrail, y'all know what those things look like in the mm-hmm. median, yeah, you drive more than any of us, went viral almost immediately last week, but now WSFA has confirmed just how close the incident was to being completely catastrophic. The stunning moment that was captured on video Scott was 100 feet away from the interstate observing the motorcade pass. Okay, I was wondering why somebody was videoing. And WSFA said Secret Service did make contact with the driver of the vehicle, and the case is now closed. It's not clear why she crashed, but the television station reported that the driver of the other vehicle was unharmed. The cable barrier. So Tony Harris, public relations director with LDOT, said, if not for the effectiveness of the cable railing, the crash had a high likelihood of being deadly. The cable barrier certainly prevented that vehicle from crossing over into oncoming traffic, which happened to be at that moment on that day, the presidential motorcade. They're almost always fatal. Wow. That's a whole nother. I mean, you know, they have the reinforced, we'll put it that way, vehicles for president to ride in, but they're saying that would it have been, I don't want to get into a dark place here, but would the vehicle that the president's riding in be heavy and reinforced enough that car, even at high speed, would have caused harm or not caused, you know, I mean if it hit any of us in our vehicle, yes, I understand that being deadly,
it would have done some damage, but the president and whoever was riding in whatever vehicle struck probably would not have been injured or had minor injuries, because those presidential limousines are pretty well reinforced. I read somewhere, so this may
but
not
it's
be
not
accurate.
The beast, it's going to be whatever's waiting for him there. I'm sure he flew in the Air Force base over in Georgia.
No, they're going to fly the beast into wherever he's coming.
Okay,
because the Secret Service, and if
the Secret Service has closed the story or closed the case, then that answers Dalton's question from earlier if it was intentional or not, because if they've closed the case.
But it brings up that thought process. Would that be some way the terrorists could act? It says here further on the story, at the end of the day, highway construction can be costly for the state, but it's worthwhile, a worthwhile investment considering the lives saved alone. Harris noted, LDOT administration explained that one mere mile of this type of cable guard railing costs approximately $250,000.
Yeah.
In other words, y'all, gas tax.
Exactly. And but like I was saying, with the Secret Service, whenever the president's going to come to an area, they send in advance teams, and as part of those part of those advance teams is flying in the equipment for the motorcade and the vehicles and Well, my question is this: normally, when the president's traveling, they close down the roads the president's traveling on. I guess because it was an interstate, they decided they didn't have to close down the other.
I mean, that is like brings up a lot of questions. I'm sure have been thought of before, but just got, I'm like, holy cow! There goes the motorcade down. If you have. Well, I don't
and the Secret Service will.
I won't get into it. I mean, there's. It's spooky. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Ken is in Mobile. Hey, Ken.
Hello there, Sean. How you doing?
Good. And David is in here as well.
Hey, Ken.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to touch base on your last caller from about the Terminac.
Mm-hmm.
I received a bill for $1,399 this month for my renewal, in which I'm pretty much good at keeping records. Last year was $306. The year before that was $296 and $286. And we've had this bond since 1992.
Sounds like they don't want you as a customer.
Sir?
Sounds like they're trying to run you off.
Yes, sir. I'm going to allude to that. In 1992, we bought the house, we assumed the bond, and in 1995, they came out and retreated the perimeter of the house with the termite killer or whatever you want to call it, the pesticide, and we're good with it. They covered it up. And we did not disturb the ground, didn't plant anything, so we assumed that the pesticide was really good. So we were looking around. They told us they'd be back in 7 years because they have to retreat every 7 years. Well, in 2002, we called them up and said, okay, we're ready for you to come retreat. Well, they told us then that ADEM had passed a law that said, oh, well, we can't retreat unless we see termites. Then we can retreat your ground. So they haven't retreated my ground nor put any kind of bait or anything since 1995. Now, they did come out and do periodic inspections, and so far, knock on wood, so to speak, I have not had any termites. But what I was told when I got this $1,399 bill, I called another pesticide company, another termite bond company. They came out, and what they did was tell me that what happened was is Terminex was taking the money for these bonds, but they weren't going out and retreating like they were supposed to. So therefore, now they've encumbered a lot of termite damage. So now they've taken a hit. So just like the insurance companies with the hurricanes, they've got to recover their damage.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make sense?
No, it does. No, I understand it. I'm just saying that the you wonder how they got them. They didn't see this coming with their actuarial tables. And yeah, I mean that is a fair question. Like I said, I like to play devil's advocate in both sides of it. You wouldn't expect an insurance company to insure a waterfront property. I know this gets me in trouble with my home away from home on Dolphin Island, but you wouldn't expect an insurance company to insure a property on the beach at Dolphin Island the same way they would in a neighborhood in central Mobile County, right? I mean, same square foot, the bigger risk.
Exactly. But you would think that if you're an insurance company and you would go to that customer and say, okay, look, the codes have changed, so if you do this and this and this, then we can still keep you at a low rate.
Yep. I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you. But they obviously failed, and they're trying to make, you know, the customer, well, it seems like, make the customers pay for their lack of foresight, for sure.
Exactly. And so now what has happened is, like you were saying, is you believe that they're trying to run the customer off. Well, if you go to another termite company and they say, well, I'll tell you what we'll do, since they want to charge you $1,399, we'll assume a new bond, we'll inspect, you don't have any termites, we'll put down the little bait boxes, and we'll do it for $600.
Mm-hmm.
But next year, your renewal bond will only be $250 or $275.
Right.
So you've done well by getting another bond at a cheaper than what you were going to have to pay. But in turn, Terminix has also relinquished their responsibility.
Well, they've moved some of that onto somebody else. Yeah, and I'm with you. I see that happening. But what's happening is, like, for you and Will, who called earlier, my parents, and so many people that I hear from quite often, they're getting sticker shock when they open up that renewal notice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So my advice is to shop for a new bond company, a new pesticide company. Terminix is not the only and best game in town.
No.
There are a bunch of others out there that will do you just a good job.
That's right. And that's why, you know, and I appreciate your call. I mean, we talk about Arrow and my buddy Austin with Arrow. Their offices are here. You can go by and see them. And they will come out and look and, you know, see if they're going to do it and do the treatment and all that. So they're doing, yes, there are a lot of companies. And, yes, it will be a spreading of the risk to other companies. But there's some great players out there. And we're big fans of Arrow in our house and here at this company. So, that's one. Just, you know what? What does it hurt? Call them and see what they say they can do for you. Good folks, too. I'll tell you that. Yeah, you're going to like the folks with Arrow. By the way, I got this list here. My buddy Steve sent the top 50 termite-infested cities. Number one on this list, that's right, Mobtown. Mobile, Alabama, number one. Number two, Honolulu, Hawaii. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 3. Little Rock, Arkansas, 4. Fort Smith, Arkansas, 5. Memphis, Tennessee, number 6. Tyler, Longview, Texas, number 7. Miami, Florida, number 8. Phoenix, Arizona, number 9. So they're going to have... I guess they can survive without moisture. And number 10 here, Dallas-Fort Worth, DFW, number 10. 11 is L.A. on that list, too. So, is there a termite bomb, not bond, a bomb coming? You know, they always talk about this next bomb coming to the economy. Is it going to be on the termite bond side will be the new bomb? And we'll find out. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Coming up at 2, Auburn Hoops has the SEC tournaments going on. And after the game, we'll go straight back into the Paul Feinbaum show. Heads up, another great event tonight at Cottage Hill Package. You want to check this out as Big Beach Brewing is going to be there with some new stuff and some classics here from Big Beach Brewing Company out of Gulf Shores. It's kind of cool. A family-owned business like Cottage Hill Package Store with the Manis family inviting a local brewery, Big Beach Brewing Company, to be there. And we're all getting to come out and have a sample of their Rod's Cream, Real Cream Ale, and their Midnight Cruise Porter, plus some new surprise additions to the Big Beach lineup. So come out tonight, take those little sips, those samples, see if you dig that beer, and pick yourself up a six-pack if you do love it. If not, don't worry. There's tons more of great craft beer there. I'm a fan of the craft beer, and I'm a big fan of Cottage Hill Package because the selection is huge. But these events are real fun because there's, like, every week there's two or three new beers I've never heard of. And you're like, I'm not going to buy that if I don't know what it tastes like. Well, you come out to these events, you get to taste it, get an idea if you dig that that beer before you buy a six-pack. So check them out tonight, 6 to 8, free event, Cottage Hill Package in the lounge in the back of Cottage Hill Package with the great wood bar and the leather seats and all that stuff, a great place to do this. It's Big Beach Brewing at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, or make sure to like them on Facebook. And so I've gone quickly here, 2 hours, and David Preston co-hosting. And we've talked about everything from airplanes to termites, man.
Exactly.
So it's kind of all over the place. On the termite thing here, a couple more texts. This one earlier came in about 20 minutes ago. Brian says, I was a millworks specialist. Okay, so you know what millworking is, right? Doing the very artistic and accurate cuts in wood. I was a millwork specialist for many years. Terminix was my biggest customer buying doors. It's gone long past bad when termites have gotten to the doors. That's as a non-professional like you, Brian, I would agree that seems like it's gone way too far.
Exactly.
You were mentioning, too, about off the air about comparing and contrasting rates for insuring. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that's what this is, right? Termite bonds are actuarial. It's insurance.
It's insurance, yeah.
And people are making the same way, you know, you wouldn't expect to have a 1,500-square-foot house on Dolphin Island on the beach is going to cost you more to insure than a 1,500-square-foot house in town.
Yeah.
And you pointed out an overall insurance, same thing's true for other things, yeah. How new they are. How
my best friend's house, she has a 2,400-square-foot house over in Spanish Fort. It was built back in 2015, I believe. It is built to gold certification standard, which means you can withstand. It's built to withstand a Category 5 hurricane. Her insurance rates on that house for, you know, top-of-the-line, top-shelf insurance is the same rate that I pay for just actual cash value from the underwriter's pool from the state of Alabama for a 1,500-square-foot house that was built in 1976 over here in Mobile that was not built to withstand a Category 5 hurricane.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, and once again, I'm doing this to make sure we talk about both sides of it. I'm with you. Believe me, I'm as a homeowner and a consumer, and I get it. I get where you're coming from. Like I said, my parents went through this with Terminix. That's who has their bond, so I've watched it with what they had to deal with, and this rate increase that's affecting so many people out there right now. At the same time, you can say, well, you know, you move your business elsewhere, and I think people are looking into that. Of course, there is always the worry in the bond world that you want to stick with the bond you had since you built the house or bought the house or the one you took over.
Mm-hmm.
Because people often don't want to. If you get into a new bond, there may be exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And the Formosan termite's different than our regular good old American termite. Formosa, as in the island of Formosa, which is Taiwan, so that probably tells us where they came from.
Yeah.
These invasive termites are much hungrier and don't need water like our local homegrown termites, and they're doing big damage. And they're putting specific riders on, so they'd be like, here's a termite policy, cost you X, but if you want to protect it against Formosan termites, it's there's a lot of people who don't want to switch from one to the other with fear for what that would cost. But when you start having bond renewals come in at $1,500,
yeah. Well, or you can just be like my friend Jeff from Montreal and just move to Canada and deal with the snow.
That's true. I wonder how far they. Well, I mean, I was looking at that list that Steve sent us, the most termite infested cities.
80% of that list is here in the South.
Yeah, top 10. It was Mobile, Honolulu, Baton Rouge, Little Rock, Fort Smith, Memphis, Tyler, Longview, Texas, Miami, Phoenix, Dallas, Fort Worth. Then goes L.A., then back to Florida, West Palm, Houston, Paducah, Kentucky, Jacksonville, Florida, Orlando, Tampa, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Montgomery in at number 20. Before we get back up north, Cincinnati, Ohio shows up at 23. I'm trying to think anywhere else. It's a fairly cold area. And let's see, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's about as far north as I, between there and Cincinnati. Like, Philly and Cincinnati are the two, looks like the northern post. I don't know where the... May have to Google that, where the termite line ends.
That'd be interesting to know. Las Vegas on
that
list?
Do they not have termites in Canada? They don't have the... So, what breaks down their wood up there?
I have no clue.
All right.
Maybe that's why so many American companies want to buy Canadian timber.
Yeah, they buy softwood out there, just price-wise. It's because they're not... they don't have the replant cost in Canada that we do here. We have a great timber industry here, but when we harvest pine trees here, you got to go back in and bed and replant, and that has a cost per acre, where if you're cutting just forest that you didn't have to plant, it's not near as expensive. But maybe that's it. Well, I don't know. These are the questions that I will try to have answered by tomorrow's show. What is the northern terminus of the termite? And the Formosans probably don't go near as far as the regular...
I wouldn't imagine.
I bet they have termites up there. They just probably don't have the Formosan termites. It would be limited by the environment they came out of, you know, from Taiwan. They probably need some work.
Well, just like Bill Finch says on the weekends, it all depends on the environment and the climate. You know, some plants down here in Mobile do very well because of the climate that don't do very well up in Birmingham or Memphis or even Cincinnati, and vice versa, where we, like, you know, I was telling him I bought some Honeycrisp apples tree seeds because I love Honeycrisp apples.
I do,
like,
too.
You're probably not going to be able to grow them very well down here because of the climate.
Yeah, that's... But I do love those apples. All right. Before we wrap up, we got to go into Auburn Hoops here in just a second. People want to reach out to you on social media and get in conversations, whether it be about airplanes or termites or anything in between. How do they do it?
It's very easy. It's at dpreston2020. It's my first first initial and my last name and the first election year I'm eligible to run for president. dpreston2020.
I never knew what the 2020 was.
Yep, and that is for both Twitter and Facebook.
All right, check him out. And once again, big thank you for stepping up in such a big way to help out the families of the Fallen Float and that project. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, good stuff. We are going to wrap it up for today. Be back in tomorrow morning, bright and early, for Mobile Mornings. It'll be a Friday, y'all, and lots to do on a Friday, and we'll be waiting for you when you get up, unless you get up. Well, unless you're milking cows, and then I'll join you when you get up. But if you do anything else other than milking cows, I'll be waiting for you when you get up. We'll see you here then. All right. Auburn Hoops and then Paul Feinbaum next.